Hello, everyone, and welcome to Power Play for Friday, March the 2nd. I'm Omar Sachdina. Lots coming up on the show today. Shaping up to be a trade showdown. Canada fires back after Donald Trump threatens to increase tariffs on steel and aluminum, a move the Wall Street Journal is calling the biggest policy blunder of Trump's presidency. Is Trump's talk all bluster or is it real? Former U.S. Ambassador to Canada Bruce Hayman weighs in on that topic just ahead. And also ahead, fresh off the Prime Minister's trip to India, India has slapped new tariffs on chickpeas, now 60% from 40%. We'll find out how much that move will sting Canadian farmers. And after an extremely busy week in Canadian politics, our journalists are here for their political plays and misplays of the week. But first, the Prime Minister on the fresh tariff tensions between the U.S. and Canada.
We have a significant trade surplus. The Americans have a significant trade surplus with us on steel, which means we buy steel from them, they buy steel from us. The integrated nature of our supply chains means that there will be significant disruption in Canada, obviously, but also in the United States. We buy more steel from the United States than any other country, and disruptions to this integrated market would be significant and serious.
That, of course, the Prime Minister in Barrie, Ontario, earlier today. And another strong voice on the issue, Unifor National President Jerry Dias, whose union represents 40,000 workers in the auto industry and thousands more in the steel and aluminum sectors.
There's no question that the U.S. does not want a deal. It's clear, because you don't start trade negotiations by being punitive. So, look, if they don't want a deal, it's crystal clear Canada should have the courage to say enough is enough and just walk away.
And joining me now is former U.S. Ambassador to Canada, Bruce Hayman. Welcome back. Always great to see you.
Good to see you. Good to be back in Ottawa.
Excellent. Let me start off with a tweet by Donald Trump today. He said, trade wars are good and easy to win, a claim many within his own party, the Republicans, and those on Wall Street are rejecting. What do you make of that?
Trade wars are bad, and you almost never win on a trade war. So in this particular case, and it would not probably surprise you that maybe in other tweets, I don't agree with the president at this point.
Do you think his threat of imposing these tariffs, these punitive tariffs, do you think it's all bluster, or do you think he would actually follow through on them?
I guess we won't know till next week. But you know what? He threatened to get out of Paris, and he got out of Paris. He threatened to get out of TPP. Lo and behold, we're out of TPP. He threatened DACA, and we have a bunch of dreamers now in the United States trying to figure out their path ahead. You know, I think some of his campaign threats have been fulfilled, unfortunately.
But in this particular case, you've got a policy that would be disastrous potentially to American workers. I mean, the U.S. is very much reliant on aluminum and on steel. This would cost a lot of jobs in the U.S.
Oh, economically, this makes no sense whatsoever. You have economists, you have business leaders, you have the Wall Street Journal, you have political leaders from both parties almost universally saying that this is going to be painful, this will cost jobs, this will raise prices, and as we heard from the Prime Minister, potentially cause retaliation even at some point by countries affected by this. And you have to think about that.
Retaliation, you know, I know it's difficult for you to weigh in on something that Canada would do, given that you were the former U.S. ambassador to Canada. But what do you think those retaliatory measures could look like?
Gosh, I don't know. And it's hard for me to even think about this, because when we think about the word trade war, war is conflict. And having conflict with Canada is the farthest thing that I ever thought we would be talking about at this point. You know, the peace arch, that's in Blaine, Washington, right at the border, talks about the 100 years after the War of 1812 and children from a common mother and brethren, you know, living together in unity. The reality is that we are so intertwined. We have worked together on so many things around the world, including defense, which part of the argument here is that this is meant to strengthen the U.S. defense, where in reality, U.S. defense and Canadian defense are one. We've worked together. We do it in NORAD. We do it in NATO. Our troops train together. We work together. And so to think about this in isolation, if in fact he moves ahead with this tariff against Canada, I think that throws out that argument about defense, because I don't believe it, because Canada and the U.S. are together in defense.
One of the things that the U.S. president is doing is using basically a national security loophole in an attempt to target China. But from what I understand, this loophole, you can't just target specific countries. So if you increase tariffs on China, you have to increase on other countries as well. And one of the things that Canada is asking for is to be granted an exemption. How likely do you think that is?
I can't predict the president of the United States and what he's doing. I mean, you know, I think that those of us in the U.S. Would love to be able to find a path to be able to predict what decisions he will or won't make. If he does proceed with these tariffs, it will have a significant impact on Canada, but it will more importantly have a significant impact on our relationship. We're friends, but we're even more than friends. We're family. We share this common 5,525-mile border. But we are so integrated in our supply chains. We are integrated in how we approach democracy around the world. We're integrated in everything that we do. And he's trying to define, build lines, build walls. And if it's not a real wall, it's trying to build a virtual wall. And, it's disturbing to me to see this path. That's the direction that he seems to be going.
But, you know, you and I were chatting before we got on camera earlier today, and you were saying one of the things that he's so good at doing is appealing to his base and also following
right.
through on what he says he's going to do.
Right.
Do you think his base even understands how dangerous this bit of policy
can
be?
No, the sophistication of the base. And that base, by the way, exists on either extreme of both parties. So you'll have very, very liberal Democrats thinking this is a good idea and very right-wing Republicans thinking this is a good idea. So this populist appeal in thinking about protectionism and bringing it all home in creating these jobs, they don't understand the complexity of our world economic model that exists today that has been so prosperous for us since World War II. And unfortunately, you know, if we sit down and try to explain to people, they're going to say, well, NAFTA's bad for me. Or, you know, you guys are manufacturing when we should be manufacturing. And they don't understand how supply chains work and why working together is like 1 + 1 = 3.
Beneficial on both sides of the border.
Yeah.
Mr. Heyman, thank you so much. Always great having you on.
Pleasure, Omar.
Appreciate it. And now for his analysis on the situation, Ken Newman, who is the Canada National Director for United Steelworkers. Great to have you on, Mr. Newman. How nervous are you right now? How apprehensive?
Well, very much concerned. I mean, just listening to some of your guests, the fact is I just returned from the U.S. After spending 3 or 4 days there and been right in the thick of things. And it's unconscionable, or it's hard to comprehend. The fact is that you think that the president is going to possibly choose an option other than the total exemption of Canada. I mean, all the evidence clearly is very clear with respect to Canada is not the problem. As I was telling some people today, I just traveled back from the U.S. As you know, there's been some tough conditions on road, and I've seen hundreds and hundreds of trucks. They're going both ways, and I can assure you that none of those trucks were being empty, that these are goods that are crossing our borders every day to the tune of $2 billion. And if you look at the integrated market that we've had for all those years, if you look at auto, you look at manufacturing, we've...